Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portions of Scripture to which I would address your attention this morning come from both Old and New Testament as follows. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." And Joseph says to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And in Luke 2, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." And Peter, speaking to the crowd in Pentecost, "Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer." And Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." And finally, Paul, writing to the Philippians, "Now I want you to know, brothers," as he writes from prison, "that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." My dear fellow redeemed, quite a divergence of places in Scripture, and yet I would hope that you sense there is a common theme that runs through them. I would suggest that all of us along the way, regardless of your age and what your history may have been, have thought at times that life was simply out of control. Events piled up. It could have been at a former job. It could even be here at the seminary. And I know that right now I've just been informed we've got 5.5 weeks behind us and counting. Sometimes it seems like it is just life in general that is going awry and we don't quite know how to handle it. Other times it seems that the forces of evil are just stacked up around us. And whether we see this as displayed in political power and intrigue, in which it seems that we are so divorced from it and have nothing to do with it that we are nothing more than pawns waiting for it to happen and we will force to react to it. And yes, sometimes even we believe we see the same phenomenon within the church. Political intrigue and power plays and the seeking of advantage. And even sometimes when there is not any evil involved, it just seems that others have all the power and the control, and that makes us uncomfortable. I can't imagine that the vicars that will be placed have not counted it down to 5. And I would guess that you candidates have certainly counted it down to 6. And I would dare say that you also feel in many respects you are powerless in this whole phenomenon. You see that your next years, and yea, indeed, the direction of your entire life is dependent on somebody or somebody's slotting you, an interesting word. And how this one doesn't work, and so in a matter of saying, it isn't going to work there, let's put them over here. And it looks so glib, and it looks so just random. And yet it will affect the rest of your life. But it's not only you vicars and candidates that I talked to this morning. Others of us who are not going to be placed find ourselves in similar positions in many kinds of ways. Age. I had a recent birthday and crossed over a mark that says, you can retire now. That may sound good to some, but it's a scary thought also. Or age in general. I would guess that some of you have aging parents and are already beginning to think, what does that mean as life plays out? Sickness. Talking to our registrar yesterday, who most of you know has a son-in-law who was stricken on Vicarage. And what does that mean to him when the future becomes clouded and just where does it go from there? And we're worried about health benefits. Losses of jobs and retirement and forced retirement. And I would dare say that some of you that are married, your wives are facing some concerns also. They don't have an idea, many of them in reality, what does it mean to be a pastor's wife? And so where are you this morning? How is Satan trying to get at you today? Because he does try to get at us to doubt God's love. It is not too different than the question he posed to Eve. Yea, hath God said? Because when he causes us to doubt, we doubt his promises and his word the same way. But if you listen to those texts that I read, Abraham, who is simply told, get up, leave your family, head out. I'll let you know when you get there. Some of you candidates can identify with that right now, can't you? Or Joseph, who certainly was the brunt of something other than loving brothers. Jealousy of the highest order. And yet he says to his brothers, God meant it unto good, regardless of what your intentions might have been. And Peter says to the Jews, you killed out of envy and all kinds of wrong motivations. But that's how God carried out his plan of salvation. And Caesar Augustus hardly had good motives when he turned the Roman world upside down to find out how many people were under his rule. And yet that was the exact means by which, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son to be born at that exact place where he had to be born. And Paul, speaking from prison, certainly was not there because he was so endeared to the Roman government. But he still says, it's the gospel. It's for the good of the gospel that I see it happens. And so the message for us this morning from God's word is that things are never out of control. Does humanity play a part in our future? Does evil play a part in our future? Of course it does. Students are very often shocked on the morning after call service, and they come in sometimes and they'll say in my class, oh, I can see there was favoritism placed, there was nepotism, there was this, there was that. And they're shocked sometimes. I looked at them and say, you know, you're probably right. But the other side of that is, and I look at them square in the eye, and I mean this to every one of us, regardless of that, you are going exactly to the place that God wants you to go. Listen, if you will, to me, to that famous passage out of Romans. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And think with all these next words that Paul writes. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Isn't it amazing to you at times that we trust to God our eternal destiny, and yet at times doubt whether he's going to take care of tomorrow or the day after tomorrow? Because he has indeed solved that greatest of evil, sin and death and Satan. And so Paul goes on and says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, my dear friends and colleagues, I urge you, stay steeped in this word and the word made flesh. The future holds nothing but your security. Because regardless of your state and place or time, we remain in God's love, his care, and the future is his. And so finally, in the words of Paul as he writes to the Philippians, Rejoice in the Lord always. And oh yes, in case you didn't hear me the first time, again I say it to you, rejoice. Amen.